Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Dear Christian friends, if God had sent Jesus to be a genie in the bottle, James and John would have had it right. Just ask the genie what you want, and he must grant it. Peter had asked Jesus to walk on water, and he had said yes. So what's stopping James and John from asking something they want? Like sitting at the right and left hand of Jesus in glory. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Maybe I haven't made my first million because I haven't asked. Maybe I still have that pain in my back or my foot because I haven't asked the genie to take it away. Jiminy Cricket said, "When your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. Anything your heart desires will come to you." So go for the gold, the second best seats in paradise. We Christians sing a hymn here at church. It's an Epiphany hymn. I'm going to leave out the operative word, okay? Here's the hymn. Jesus has come to bring pleasure. You know that hymn? I left out the operative word right at the end. Pleasure, not just pleasures, but pleasures eternal. Eternal. And that makes a big difference. Ignore the blank and the song totally changes and it fits in with the theology of James and John. What is that word? Eternal. Now, to James and John's credit, they did ask for something eternal. They asked to sit at Jesus' right and left in his glory. But this brings up at least two problems. Number one, in heavenly glory, there is an order that depends on God's appointment. Kind of like when you go to a dinner and they put up those little place settings that has your name on it. And there's nothing you can do, no competition, no requests, it's not polite. It's not good to try to do anything to change your spot at the table. That's something God decides. It's his kingdom. It's his glory. You sit where you sit based on the setting that he has prepared for you. You have no choice in the matter, no posturing for the best seats. The host determines who sits next to the host. There is no call-ahead seating. And I wouldn't put it past God, however, to have a one big round table, kind of like Camelot, with Jesus at the center. Wouldn't that just eliminate all the posturing and everything else? Maybe he doesn't do it that way. Whatever way he does it, God determines it, and we have no choice in how it is to go. Second problem, when James and John said, "in glory," our Lord still had something else in mind, different than what James and John had in mind when they asked their question. For Jesus, the glory of God is greatest when Jesus is on the cross. Don't believe me? Listen to John chapter 12 during Holy Week, just hours or days before Good Friday. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Then he goes on to say, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The "if it dies" in the falling is a reference to Jesus, his cross. And that's the hour in which he says he is glorified. His departure is what Jesus had in mind just before James and John asked Jesus about sitting at his right and his left in glory. Look at the text, Mark chapter 10. We just heard a snippet a little bit before it. Jesus had just foretold his death and rising a third time. Jesus saw the event of his cross as the eschatological picture of judgment and the glorified picture of the Son of God for man. Here is where believers stand or fall. Reject the cross and death of Jesus as the perfect Lamb of God for you, dying in your place. And there will be no glory, but believe and receive the cross and death of Jesus as the atonement for your sins, as the pure, perfect Lamb of God for you, for the sins of the whole world, in fact. And you do stand in the glory of God with Christ Jesus. So the cross is the crossroads. The cross is where the end begins and is established. The cross becomes the, not the place of death, but really more the place of the tree of life, a humble yet glorious tree. For Jesus sheds his blood on this tree, gives his body on this tree, prays for the forgiveness of others on that tree, gives up his spirit at the same time of day in which God created man, in the afternoon on the sixth day in creation. So when James and John asked Jesus to sit at his right hand or his left in glory, what do you think Jesus had in mind about what they were asking? If it's in heaven, the answer is no. But if it's on earth, where there is lording over other people, people who like to sit at high positions over others, having great honor over others, then there is a place for that kind of thinking. That thinking must be crucified and die, because that's not the kind of thinking lorded over dominion in God's kingdom. That kind of thinking is the thinking of James and John. And that's what they were really asking, is whether they could sit at Jesus' right and left on the cross, a place of suffering, yet a place of glory for those who believe. Jesus responded, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup from which I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? That is the cup of God's wrath and the baptism of blood, Jesus dying on the cross." James and John replied very boldly, cavalierly, "We are able." But they were not able. What happened on Good Friday? Where were they? Were they there ready to drink the cup with Jesus? Were they there ready to be baptized by blood? Nope. They were hiding, all of them. Peter denied him 3 times, and James and John are nowhere to be found. If we were in their shoes, we would have done the same. So as it were, 2 others were appointed to sit at Jesus' right and left in the day of glory. A thief and a murderer. 2 unwilling persons, both criminals. One ends up being saved, the penitent thief, who recognized Jesus' innocence. He, as opposed to James and John, asked the right question. And he knew what he was asking. And Jesus granted it. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's the best thing Christians should ask of Jesus. Not to sit at his right hand and his left hand. It's, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's no self-seeking glory in that question. No supposed worthiness in us as we ask that question. Salvation depends on Jesus remembering us. Since James and John asked the wrong question about being glorified with the Son, Jesus used this opportunity to teach them and the other disciples the future and the present, the way in which the kingdom of God works here on earth, even now. First, the future. The cup that I drink, you will drink, meaning they will suffer for his name's sake as apostles. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized, meaning the disciples will die as martyrs for Christ's sake. That is, later on, after the resurrection, Jesus, as omniscient God, knew how they would die, all of them, as apostles. But as Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth, the ministry of Jesus is his name, until he comes again, we in the church must learn how to be holy like him. Wholly different from other kingdoms and ways of domineering sinners. Jesus taught us, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first must be slave of all. That's what Jesus modeled in his ministry. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus has not come to be a genie in a bottle. He has to be our justification before God in heaven. Jesus has not come to bring pleasure. He's come to bring pleasure eternal. Jesus has not come to set up a lord it over others kingdom like the nations of the world. Rather, even the Lord comes as your servant. He serves you life by giving up his. He serves us life by giving us all things. Yes, if anything, his lordship is love. And he asks us to do the same for his name's sake and by his grace and power. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.